Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and call this discussion session to order. Today's April 28th, 2015. This is a discussion on goal setting. I guess the purpose of the discussion is to set goals. We'll go ahead. I'm not sure how what we envision is the format here, but we'll go ahead and just open it up for any kind of open discussion. Whoever wants to start.
What's your turn?
A couple of things. I know it's goal setting, which I just want to clarify. Goal setting for the new superintendent. That's the purpose of this meeting, right?
Again.
Because that's what I thought was the timeline, and Claudia gave three dates, the 28th, the blah, 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 the blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And this was the one where we said, how can we, it would be fair, you got to help me out. It would be fair to, we need to set the goals so that, you know, discuss them and set them.
So that we can set them?
So that we, because of the evaluation, because the evaluation period started, and... Right, wasn't that? And before the person started, the new superintendent
myself,
started.
I think we ought to be doing this with the new superintendent, in conjunction with the new superintendent. But
and
here we sit.
Well, I know, missing the person who was, you know, an advocate for this, it's so hard. I can't. But that's how I recall, that we were going to sit here and set goals, and that because of the... And it's basically because over time there was a span a month and a half. And then I think we also thought that we had maybe the consultant / person going to be on board in May. So I think all of it was anticipating all of that when it was set.
So is this a meeting that perhaps should have been removed from the calendar? Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know. I mean, that's the way my thought is that's what we were talking about, and we were just trying to get a date. Again, I can't speak for someone else, but we kind of agreed that we would get, but then I think other things rolled this, you know what I mean, rolled this out of the hopper, I think. Could have a preliminary talk about goals, but I don't know. You don't want to.
Mr. Searcy, what are your thoughts? I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot. You don't have to discuss. I'm looking for direction. I think this is pretty mature to do this. I don't even know why we're here.
Hey, Jack, that's my fault right there.
All right. Move to dismiss.
But before we dismiss, because it's a public meeting, I did want to, we received it, and I hope it's okay to discuss this. We had received an email from Ms. Stang regarding the legislative delegation. I called Margaret Mitchell from Debbie Mayfield's office. Normally they have that. This is where they have the two senators, the House rep, and people from a podium at City Hall where Mothers Against Tobacco, anybody can speak, including county commissioners and city council people, etc. We are not a part of that dais. Those dates that Judy was trying to ask each person if we were available, all five of us, although if I'm available, I'll attend, but obviously you can't, you know, and as Dale, the citizen, I can speak, but usually it's maybe the liaison or one person speaking on what the school district's platform is. And again, we don't have, like last year's platform was, well, one thing which I voted against, which I hope doesn't happen, you know, was we were not in favor of the tax cuts and things like that. Now, I know we go from year to year with a platform, but we don't even have a platform. So, I just wanted to say that a meeting in August to go in front of the delegation, I would hope that whether it's the liaison or the designated relief of the liaison, discusses with our legislators what the board corporate platform is. And if someone else wants to get up and speak, and because they're available that day, because either all five want to go or one wants to go, that at least that the message is the corporate message. And also because when I asked Judy when she was asking for the dates, you know, when are you all five available, I just wanted to make sure that we all knew what that meeting was.
Well,
and I don't feel that all five
Judy,
of us...
Judy was... I don't mean to interrupt you, but Judy was misunderstanding what the meeting was.
Sure. So I just really want to tell everybody so that, and Margaret said, I don't even know if I could honor your request anyway. So that'll be all a moot point. But they know that we had the FSBA, the legislative delegation meeting, where one person could speak at the podium in the city of Vero when Judy was asking for dates. I'm just going over that meeting is open to the public. We're not a part of the meeting. We are attendees.
That's the way it's always been.
I know, but I asked Judy, I was just clarifying because I asked Judy, she was asking, when are all five of you available? I've got responses, and I was like, all five of us don't have to be available. The legislative liaison who will speak, you know,
so that's
or whoever, but I'm just saying, all five of us can't speak individually.
So do you have the history of where that's coming from? Has anybody told you? About
I've
how
been
we,
to them.
No. How we used to meet here, and they would come here to the school district, Negron, and they would come here, and that's what I think Judy was thinking about. So when that meeting was organized, we all had to be here.
No, and I understand that. I wanted to let you all know that it's not that meeting.
Right.
So that's
Mr.
just.
Chairman, are you going to call the meeting back to order, or what?
We never uncalled it because I spoke in public.
No, we haven't done anything.
Right.
None of us, and as chairman, please accept my apologies. It is absolutely my fault. Things just kind of slipped. None of us understand why we're here. Our goals should be done with the new superintendent. We were trying to figure out, we were just about to leave.
Okay, cool. Well, I actually was somewhere else because this meeting was supposed to be at 11:30, and somehow it got changed to 9, and I just pumped out last night, and I had a commitment somewhere else. So I went to my commitment and left early to be here. The purpose of this meeting was to do something that we've never done before. And I actually came prepared for the meeting. I thought it was clear, but obviously it was not. You know, in the past, what has happened...
It's always been in order.
I thought you...
No, I didn't.
It was about when it stopped, and so you talk about that meeting.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I didn't know because they all stopped me.
So here's the deal, and we can still call it over. I have tons of things to do, and I'm totally happy to go back to them. But we have never, as a board in the past, had time to ourselves to talk about, based on our experience on the board as we're looking to the new year, what are the kinds of things we would like to see happen in the school district. We always meet, and it's always at the pleasure of the superintendent, and we always have the superintendent tell us what to do and how to do it. And I think that part of our job, we need to move away from seeing ourselves as we just do what we're told, as seeing ourselves as elected officials who represent our community and bring forth some other ideas. Of course we're going to do what the superintendent is the expert. So here's the example. So when I thought of being prepared for this, I sat down and I've been keeping a list throughout the year of things that I think are going to be important to address with a new superintendent as we change leadership. And what I was hoping was that as a board, we can each share from our perspective, you know, here are some things that we may want to consider. And as a board, we'll say, you know, maybe those are things that we can include in our priorities when we have our conversation with the superintendent. So the things that I wrote down, number one, is we need to figure out what we're doing about our desegregation order. What is our timeline, and what's that going to look like? I don't think we need to wait for the superintendent to say to us, you know, in 2 years, we can start planning for that. I think that we have, as a collective board, the authority to say to the superintendent, Dr. Rendell, when you come in, this has got to be one of your priorities, if that's what the board decides, because I do believe that is our job. And we, in the 6 years that I've been on the board, we haven't been united. You know, we'll be at a budget meeting, and somebody will say, oh, I think we don't have enough nurses. That's me. Oh, I don't think we have enough nurses. Can you please look into that? And then another person, oh, we have issues with guidance counselors. Can you look into that? And, oh, the SROs. And where it becomes like everybody's little agenda, and I think that we would be more effective if we talked about, you know, what are the things that we each are observing, we're hearing from the community, we don't feel safe, we don't feel this, and how can we as a board collectively talk about it? that's my personal perspective, and that was my excitement around having a new board and having new leadership, because I feel that we can do things differently, and I think in the end it'll be better. So that was one example. And I just thought, you know, if we could come up with some of those things, it doesn't mean we're going to do them all, but I'd love to hear what other people have in terms of goals for the school district. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, and if the majority of the board says, you know what, that sounds great, but I don't want to be bothered, that's fine with me.
Honestly, we have tried to, and without having the full thing here,
right.
There's been so many meetings.
Right.
When we were like, why are we here? I was confused, like all the same. Well, wait a minute, is this the one with the superintendent? I'm sure everybody could have a little input on what they feel. Well, and that's, you know, so I was confused. But mm-hmm. Do you want to go through what you have in mind? What's been?
By the way, just FYI, the goal, and times have been set aside for goals setting with the new superintendent August 11th.
Wow.
At 9 a.m. It's the first time.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a Tuesday.
And I could share a few. One of them.
Sure.
I could tell you my experience with DSEG. Did you want to round table DSEG? I'll be glad.
This is a discussion session. Yeah.
So, no, I'm just saying, so I didn't want to cut her short, though. I'll jump
discussion.
In on DSEG or tell.
Right, sure.
Okay. I have, and that's always been a topic. I guess it happened when I came here. The first thing an attorney does, our attorney did with me, was pull aside and say, by the way, you're under a DSEG, and all the other things that are pending. So I think every time a new board member comes, and it'll happen again, as you're correct, in 2016, perhaps, I don't know. But that seems to keep coming. It comes up, and it goes up, and it kind of comes down. When it was talked about within the last month or two, obviously, you get back to the community. I know Mr. Fritz has been talking to Tony Brown. Part of the issues that, and I had talked to Donald Hart, and part of the misconception, because the Hart family was very involved in the NAACP, part of the misconception is people want to get rid of the DSEG, mm-hmm. like it's a like they're going to really jam it on. They're going to get rid of it, like it's a bad thing. And I went through the time to explain this was the order and this was that year, and that if every year we keep doing it and we don't try to, and the man's an officer. I said, you know, everybody who has a some sort of, you know, you have to do community service, you have to do something, we found something wrong, you have to have, this is the judgment, in order for you to complete the judgment, you have a shopping list to complete things. Everybody has a right to complete things. The school district would like to address what we can do. Do you want the children from Gifford to be shipped to, bus to Fellsmere? Of course you don't. So if you look at the DSEG, then you can look at each issue, and we can document. And if we just start to address this, then we can document what we can and cannot do. We don't want to get rid of it. We want to address it. And by addressing it, we could either get things fixed, or we can show, through statistics and cause, that we can't, you know, it can't be done. Which, if I understand, Charter High School is part of it, and they do not meet the DSEG on students, whereas a lot of other schools do. So I've had some preliminary conversations with the community to try to clear that perception, because of the, I'll say, gossip that got back to them, that we're trying to get out from under it, like, you know, we're going to do some harm. So I think at some point we have to address it. And I think that it's not something that we could say, let's get it. From my understanding, what the attorney has explained, you just don't hire a lawyer and do it. You have to show your actions. And I think that there should be a start date and an expiration date on that. And that's something that's in-house without hiring an attorney. And I think there should be some of that track record. So I would agree with you that should just be looked at and a work in progress. We are going to look at it, and we're going to put together, these are the things we need. Now, we might need some direction on that, but I'm sure our attorney can give us that direction until we hire somebody that's going to actually battle Washington. So I would agree with you that we should look at it in the hopes to, do a status of, change. But that, I would agree with you on that. And I've talked to the community, and they are misinformed. Through just because they weren't here and wherever they heard about it. So I think that communication is key, and I've been working on that myself.
Yeah, I heard some of the same feedback from the communities that are most affected by the DSAG order. And the one thing that I personally have decided to do is not use the phrase "drop from under," because that sets a tone that it's not meaningful unitary status we're looking to achieve. Which my interpretation of the board's intent, the board corporate's intent, has always been that we want to fix it. You know, we don't want to just rename it or battle it and perform a paper exercise. We want to make meaningful changes in the community for unitary status. So, I mean, we have to give direction or goal. I look at it from a project management standpoint. So we should start, set milestones, and, you know, with a target date circled. And, I mean, that's everything we'll bring up. That's going to be my answer.
So you know, that's going to have to have buy-in from the superintendent to us so that we discuss with them.
So maybe we have a consensus that that would be a good goal to discuss August 11th.
Sure. No. You know, and that's it's. You know, with a brand new superintendent coming in, trying to just learn people and learn, you know, and I don't know how high that's going to become priority list on day one. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Because he can delegate, though. Mr. Fritz would have to be making a lot of that, which I understand that he's doing. Right. So,
see, and I think the reason why he's finally doing it is because finally it's percolating, mm-hmm. you know. Because what's happened, I've been on the board for 6 years, and all we hear is we're under DSAG, 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 we're under DSAG. There's no plan, there's nothing. It's like, yep, another year under DSAG. And I think that at some point, we as a board have to have the leadership to say, you know what, let's have a plan. Let's document that we're trying to address this. Which is, you know, it's always, we hear some schools are in compliance, some schools are not. We don't have enough minority staff next year. So, you know, and it gets old, and I just think it's disrespectful to the community because the achievement gap is still there, the issues are still there, there's still a perception that we're not responsive to our African-American community, and I think that's important to address.
And I just wanted to feedback that I think that some of these things are being addressed because we heard Mr. Fritz mm-hmm. say that he's been going to some, you know, that he's bringing some African-American teachers and administrators to these things. So all that needs is, and I really hate to say, but documentation. I do believe that there has been a move, but it just needs to be recorded document. It seems like some of the things, from what I understand, the charter school is not, and a couple other, but people in the community don't want a bus, and if we show that we met with the leaders and they don't want a bus, then the element of the student ratio we've addressed. As far as from what I heard through our workshops, we've really addressed that. Maybe the charter high school and some of the charter schools haven't, and that would be something to address when they come meet for our discussion. For our discussion, but the thing is that these things just have to be, as I said, a start, and I just think that a lot of it is in place, but we really just have to have the official waving of the go sign, you know, and then have, and what we need, and as I get, perhaps we should, instead of the superintendent, give direction to our attorney to say, give us the shopping list of the things we should be preparing. We'll discuss it with the superintendent, and he can delegate. Just so, I mean, we think we know, but it's really a legal issue as well.
Absolutely.
And she has to give us direction, saying, I hear where you're going. These are some of the things I think that you should put in place and address as you move forward trying to find unitary status. And along that timeline, you know, at some point a different attorney will take over. But why hire an attorney now when you haven't even done these things? And Ms. DeAgresta could personally, you know, carve out a list. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it isn't that long. But,
So what do you think about that, Ms. DeAgresta? Well, the court order back in the 60s and then the several updates that occurred over time, it's a specific list of items that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are court cases that say in order to attain unitary status, you have to do these things. You have to establish these things in your community. So there really is a list. And it's going to then be dependent upon district staff to find the data of what we've done over the years with regard to each of the items on the list. I mean, it's really data gathering. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy we did it. I'm going to say it was when Dr. LaCava was here. The board had a workshop at that time, and a list was put together of the items on the desegregation order and what staff needed to either be doing or gathering, that sort of thing. So we could go back to that list.
Right. And just so it doesn't fall and recycle to another superintendent, what I'm hearing is there was a list and it was gathered the data, and I know that we haven't done it for, let's say, 20 years. But I'm just saying 10 years or whatever. But I would imagine just because you haven't done it for 10 years, 20 years, there has to be a starting point. There has to be some sort of historic, even if it started with, you know, June 1st, 2015, you have to create history of what you have done. So the fact that we haven't done or where we've done it 4 years ago, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but you can't close the barn door after the horse got out. You have to start. Mm-hmm. So I was not on the board when that list was created. If you could just, I mean, I think you should just resend that. And that's direction where we have to say, start gathering data now as far as what we're doing, what we're not doing. And then again, August 11th is a good time to do that.
And they're doing that. There was a public records request around the DSIG order. And so the staff is actually putting out information to the community when they make public records requests.
So this is a discussion we can have with the new superintendent. Give direction. It's something that discussion. And no one seems to say.
Then another thing too that I had on my list is, and I think this is an important discussion for us to have, is this the problems we're having with PR. How when we had Ms. Vasquez, we at least had a centralized way to get the word out about what's going on in the community, telling our story. And I know that with all the budget cuts and everything, that is not a priority. But I think that it's really coming back to bite us, the fact that it's the superintendent's secretary who does everything under the sun gets that responsibility too. And bless her heart, she does the best she can. But that is a liability, I think, to the school district, that we're not telling her story. There's a lot of good stuff going on, and it can't just be piecemeal. And I know that that's controversial. We don't want to spend money on anything but the classroom. However, if we don't talk about the good things that public schools are doing, you know, we're doing our community a disservice. Because people still don't know that we have career in tech, even though we have a website. But that's not enough. It's not enough to put everything on a website and say that's our PR campaign. And I know, you know, and that's why I think it would be good for us to talk about what each of you thinks about it, because maybe the board is going to say to the superintendent, you know, that's not, we don't want to go there. You know what I mean? I think it's worth talking about. But that's just one person.
Well, and I had that when I first called Dr. Rendell, when it wasn't even a narrowed down as a superintendent choice, but it was one of my choices. And he talked about that. And I could tell you just some of the things that I visited the Wabasa School, and the new principal wants to do more of that. In fact, they're going to do a movie, and Dr. Ferrantino yesterday do a little, you know how we have films on what's going on. We have a Goodwill store for the visiting nurses, for the students, and transition, and that's some of the issues that may have been an issue in the past, transition for students with disabilities. And instead of, but in the theme of your public information, I agree. I think that's something Dr. Rendell would like to do. How he directs his staff and who he assigns that job, I don't really think is our involvement, but I think that that's another thing for August 11th to say, if you need, we will support you in what way we can, if to either, you know, have yours, but that's something we'd like to see. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to see us, you know, not just because not everybody has, listen, I got DirecTV. We don't get this channel. I'm not going to see, well, then you're really not going to get it. But you know what I'm saying? So that nice, warm, and fuzzy movie of what's the Goodwill Center that they're working at, nobody's going to see it. So, and the press releases, as I said, if it's based on Peggy Posell, we can't tell Dr. Adams or Dr. Rendell what to do with their staff, but to tell them that we feel that that's important, that our message is, you know, like, because I see it as an IT under the, you know, if, you know, maybe somebody in IT, because they're really good at that. You know, but that's not, like I said, that's going to be a decision he has to make, but I would definitely agree that I would echo August 11th, saying that we have good stories to tell and we want to see more of it. I don't think we can argue with that.
Well, I think all these are, you know, August 11th is not, that's the first preliminary meeting. That's not going to be a meeting you sit down and you walk out with a sheet of paper that says
sure.
That's going to be an opportunity to start talking about all these things, start pulling this together. Sure.
Well, my only concern with that is, and I agree, that that's probably how the first meeting will go, is that within probably, 10 days, he's going to be, actually, probably right after that, he's going to be meeting with his principals. And then you have the waterfall. I mean, that's the date we have, so that's the reality of it. But I just wanted to make sure.
There's absolutely nothing, I would assume, every board member is going to have some time to sit down with Dr. Rendell probably more than once after it starts. And you can go over things. You know, goals, we've got to think of what are we doing with goals? You're talking about goals in order to evaluate?
That's a good question.
Evaluation goals? Are these goals to make us all feel good? Are they goals just in general? I mean, what are we discussing?
It's things that need to get done. The DSEG order needs to be addressed. What's your plan, new superintendent?
Okay, well,
public information needs to be addressed. What is what we say? How is his job? Another area that needs total attention is the ESE department. The autism unit in Vero Beach High School is a disgrace. I talk to teachers. I talk to people that leave the school district that are ESE assistants that are not even trained properly. It is a mess. It has been a mess since the previous director left. Nobody's cleaned it up. Mr. Ferrantino is getting ready to retire. It's painful to talk to parents who tell me the stories of what happens to their children in our schools. When I meet with Ms. Diogresta, I always look at that list. What are the lawsuits that we're dealing with? That shouldn't be happening. You know, nobody talks about it. That's an issue. I'm not telling him how to fix it, but I'm going to be on his case. I want you to clean that up. One of the guys that we didn't invite to talk, in his district, they do audits. They did a curriculum audit. We need to do an ESE audit. I'm not asking it to be cleaned up tomorrow, but I want the leadership in this school district that is going to acknowledge that we have a problem, and instead of ignoring it, fix it. And we have to have the courage to say that. Otherwise, 6 years, you know, the lawsuits, keep it hushed, don't say anything. To me, that's wrong. We are here representing the citizens, those families with disabled kids that are not getting the right services they need. And, you know, that's another issue. We don't talk about it, but ESE, there are no department heads in our schools. So what happens is your principal is overextended, and your principal, you know, the buck stops there. The poor guys, they don't have the support to do the job. You know, and again, the what is fix ESE. The how, it's your job. Give them some time. And there should be a goal in there somewhere. I mean, I think that's what our job is.
And it was complaint generated in a way, but, you know, as you mentioned, autism, but we have people with severe disabilities that age out at 22, but in fairness, because Kathy Francis has got a plan, and I have it here, and I won't bring it out, but I'm just saying, I just visited with Dr. Ferrantino. Yeah. There's things going on. You're right, somebody's going to retire, but I don't want to just look at the autism. If we're going to look at, I really feel that it should, and I told the one service, ARC, that was discussing this with me, they're worried about they're timed out, and then they have to go to daycare. Well, I'm not sure what daycare is over there. Are they really stimulating and minding? But they're only game in town, unless we have the voc rehab or other things like that. And the thing is that I don't want to just look at severe disabilities timing out. I would like, I don't want somebody caught with the mildest disabilities to. So, you know, I've been working on that. I'm going to the PAC, the Parent Advisory Committee, June 10th, which is at Doddingtown for the ESE. And I'm in a fact find to see where we're at. You've had 6 years on it. But I agree that I see that perhaps, no finger pointing, that there's been some you know, everything, I mean, I think if you looked at math or you looked at whatever, supplying computers, everything can always use improvement. But that's an area that overall could, and I see very many things that are being put in place with a new principal for the 54 children there. But what about the rest of the district? And again, that's something that Dr. Randell, if you're asking if I hear a need, I would like to see that that gets attention. The pool is not working for 3 years. The therapy pool is not working for 3 years at the Wabasa School, and it's part of an IEP. I didn't know that till I toured. And the other guy didn't say anything, and Dr. Francis put the list in, and it's a punch-out list. And I asked Dr. Adams, and she said, oh, it's on the list. That should be a priority. I mean, that's part of an IEP, and that's part of a state IEP regulation. So that's something I'll be asking again about. But those are the things that could get... Now, I'm sure there's other things that... It doesn't have to be disability students. There are other things in this whole district that's problem. But I'm just saying, I agree that's an area that may get less attention. Is it less attention, or it's just I didn't know? Because there's a lot of things that people pull a board member here and there. So in fairness, I don't want to say that's lacking. They may be doing the best, putting as many band-aids as they can, like every other branch. But I am looking at that myself, looking.
See, and so this is the point of this, that if we don't make time for these kinds of conversations, we don't know if maybe there are three board members that do want to say, hey, let's do something about ESC. You know what I mean? We can't speak to each other because we'll be in violation of the sunshine, because all these things we're talking about we might vote upon, and we don't have
time,
opportunities, you know? Yeah. And so that was the only reason why I wanted us to, just before the superintendent came, to just have a conversation to see if there's anything else. Because, you know, here I am. I've been following this for years, and I felt, well, I'm the only person because nobody speaks about it. And it's like, wow, another board member is looking into it. How encouraging. I'm not crazy. Somebody else is seeing some of these issues.
I think it's healthy that we talk like this. And then I'll just give you one more thing, and that's my list for now, but I've only been on a year, and then trying to come up to speed and whatever. And I've talked about this before, and we just had those major arrests, 7 arrests at Sebastian, and we have had issues at Vero. And just knowing a little bit about law enforcement, because I had somebody ask in the public, well, can't you call for backup? You got one guy on a campus. You got gentlemen that are probably bigger than him, big football players. I don't want my child hurt in collateral damage. I don't want an officer hurt. I don't want a teacher hurt. So there were 7 young ladies that got into a brawl and a fist fight. I feel, and it's not, and I had to tell somebody who felt that it would be juvenile justice area, that, you know, they're going to come in and they're going to stat and they're going to see something, the kid's going to get a record. That's not my purpose. My purpose is for every student that goes to our high school, and the reason I'm saying high school, I'm sure there's big kids in middle school, but if we can only add a second resource officer, because an officer... And they really should be patrolling together, because one here and one there, the fight breaks out, I don't care if you're... That's a big campus, either one of them. But I'm just saying, that's a safety issue I have seen since I've come in. I don't know about junior high. I don't know about elementary school. That's pretty... You know, that's probably... There might be some real emotional, an outburst, and that won't last for long in an elementary school. But when you have that continual where it's just bad criminal behavior... And bad behavior. I don't want to see anybody get hurt in our high schools. I know it's all budget and it's all thing, but
that's what
I understand. But if this is our wish, you know, what we're thinking, and where would that fall in the priority? You know, if that wouldn't bump anything else, but it's just something. If this is the time to say something, I've not been shy about it. And again, because usually we have people, and they have said to me, you know, they think it's because I'm looking, you know, like when they talk about zero tolerance. No, it's the no tolerance, but the pipe, you know, we're doing a little softer velvet hammock approach now, but it's really, I feel that everybody should be accountable, but the punishment should fit the crime. So when we had this discussion at our board meeting, when 2 women spoke for a very long time, I explained myself, I'm not coming from that point of view, I'm coming from a safety issue, not looking to nail anyone. That's not what that this is about for me. And I don't know if I spoke about this in front of the, you know, Mr. Susi and Mr. Frost, but since this is time to just air, that would be the, I mean, right now, for this meeting, those were the things, where that comes up and how we interject that into the school district is, you know, I'll see when it's appropriate, because we could come up with 100 things. But that would, if you're asking what's important to me, those would be the three things for now,
and
this
year. Right, and as I hear you say that, you know, I think one of the things that concerns me about that is that these SROs have the training. I saw a video recently of a fight in one of our high school cafeterias. The SRO was walking away, and a student was breaking up the fight. And I don't, I mean, I'm sure there was a reason for it, but when you look at that video, I'm like, really, people? The kid is breaking up the fight in the cafeteria? And the SRO, and I don't, you know, so I agree with you that safety is important, but we have to be really mindful, because what happens when you have more SROs, you have more arrests, and you have principals that just let the SROs take care of it. So there has to be training such that it doesn't become, and I got you for those kids. I don't agree with kids misbehaving, but they're kids, and to give kids a record like that, What does that accomplish? I would partner that with revisiting the Alternative Center for Education and making it a place where those kids get the support they need, and it's not just the focus on the academics, getting them to pass the test, but there's a balanced whole approach to maybe trying to help those kids make better choices. You know, you have to hold them accountable. There's a lot of not dead space, but that space is dedicated to adult ed, to all other things, when it can be dedicated to helping kids. We have kids in elementary. We had a board member that's off the board, and even then, we had issues with elementary schools being having kids that are more violent and having more behavioral issues. We need to figure out how to work with those kids. Maybe if we re-envision the ACE and create different spaces, or I don't know what it is, but I think, again, those are things that I worry about when I look at how we're dealing with kids that we rarely ever talk about.
Well, and I'll just piggyback. Well, you know, if an SRO is not behaving properly, that's a different story. But the purpose is safety. When I was at Wabasa, I said, wow, you know, we can't go in there because that kid doesn't like women, and this one might get hurt, and this one. I said, wow, you don't have an SRO here. You know, aren't you afraid for your staff? And the protection was, well, then they'd have to arrest, and we really don't want that. Well, I don't want, as a school board member, one of our teachers and or aides suing the school district because there was violent children there, for whatever reason, not on purpose, but a disability, and acted out. And now we're paying for a lawsuit because we didn't provide protection. Protection. So I know it's a delicate balance, you know what I'm saying? And it's delicate balance, and I would say that, yes, the alternative school would be a place as a step in place, and that's the way that is. But I still do not want to, because I'm so fearful that that child's going to get a record, not have people protected. So I don't know what the answer is, Claudia, but that's the, where we're going to have
we're
to find the
into,
balance.
Yeah, we're getting in way far field here. I guess, you know, Dale, you're saying that you would want to bring up safety as a goal?
As a goal, actually, and really, I know they're working on safety. We've got the fencing, we've got those funds, and that's it. I really just feel that our two high schools are unsafe with one SRO. I just feel that's just my, that's the one element that I feel is a problem.
If it came down to, that would be more better suited on a budgetary mm-hmm. issue. I can tell you, you would certainly have a second vote.
Sure.
I'd have no problem with the more SROs, the better. I don't care. Somebody's going to break the law. I don't care if they have a record or not. I really don't. They're going to break the law. They're going to suffer the consequences. I don't think that's an issue. What issue is going to be budgetary? What are you going to cut?
And I get that. And only since this was the opportunity to, you know, float your goals and your wish list. That's my third one. I don't really need any more time. But that would be that one, as I said, is certainly does not supersede maybe improvement in ESE programs, and DSEG exploration. But then that would be that's the end of my wish list. And that, as you said, that is a budgetary, and that's all I'm...
That's me more there. You know, and I would assume goals are going to include some academic goals.
I hope so. That's what we're all about.
Every school in A, I love his...
Where I'm going.
That's I'm 100% behind that.
Yeah.
Dr. Rendell, every school's an A. That's
And
every child learning, which is what's driving that A. That's the... So, yeah, that's... I'm finished.
And I would imagine that's everybody's goal here. That, I think, we don't even have to talk about. I think it's the ones, the problem areas that are, you know, that... You know, if education is here, and you always put education here, and you don't look... Because remember, we're corporate. We're not teachers. We're not the superintendent. This is policy and budget is what we're responsible for. And if those goals, you know, drive that, you know, if you never fix the building, and the building falls down, you don't have a place to teach kids. If you never fix or harden our data center, which now we will with the new administration building, because that's a joke. Any second... We can lose every piece of information we have, and that's the little secret. And so we can't get to that building faster, as far as I'm concerned, because if they can't push a button and sign on, they can't teach.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, that's teaching as well. But those were, I would say, three areas that are non-teaching.
And I mean, everything. It's not what I'm saying. Everything's going to come down to budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get down to it, and it's like, you know, we're halfway through the year to say, oh, we need more, you know, there's a real problem here. We need more guidance counselors. Well, guess what? You're going to have to cut something else out. No, don't cut that out. Cut this out. We need more help in the ESC. Granted, you know. You know, what are you willing to give up to have more resources devoted to ESC? That's... Those
one other question that what that
those
is available fun. Is adult education funds.
Yeah,
is available.
There's tons of money.
Like 1.4, I think.
That you could use towards when the disability children at 22 time out instead of going to ARC or sit at home as a couch potato. There's been some proposals and some ideas to use the support services for training in print shops and things like that, and that money can go towards that. So just wanted to throw that out.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
I'm glad to hear you say that. What are we going to cut? Because these last few meetings, I've noticed, like, we dipped into that $1.2 million, and it's the quote-unquote reserve fund that everyone seems to think is... we have to look at zero... balance, you know, a balanced budget. I think that, and this is new to me, so I'm not familiar with changing a budget mid-year. Normally, you have a budget, you set a budget, you stick to it, and you do that by either cutting here and slashing there, or you have a variance at the end of the year, and your variance is either favorable or unfavorable. I mean, you know, you're the accounting guy. I hated accounting, but it's. I learned it because it's the language of business, and to me, it's very surprising. I think there's something on the agenda tonight that we're changing some funds around and adjusting things, and I understand that. But looking at it from a micro perspective, micro econ perspective, it's almost like we're just changing balances on credit cards and continuing to borrow into the I'd be curious to see what our leverage ratios are. If I had you mentioned an audit, I'd like to consider the idea of an internal auditor. Because
it's on the agenda, by the way.
It is? Okay.
For May 12th.
Yes.
Right. Because I've had conversations with other school boards around the state, and they say that that's one of the few constitutional privileges that a school board member has, is that we can do that. I know we've had external audits, and... I appreciate the services of the GAO, but it's not the same as saying, what is it costing us to have a solar array at this school? You know, for the board to be able to have those and not overburden our internal, you know, so that they can focus on the business before them, whereas the board can then have oversight into looking at these things from opportunity costs, looking at really where we could be or should be expending our resources. You know, are we spending our money in the best way possible for specifically the students and their learning experience?
And we had an audit committee. And the audit committee had a budget to do different audits. And we had somewhere a stack of all the different audits they did, and it was dissolved. So maybe we could, we, you know, reinstitute that.
It was dissolved because we cost money.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and I recognize that, but it's one of those
things where... Petty, but it did cost money because they had to go out and hire a lawyer or somebody and then do the audit.
Sure, and of all people sitting at this table, you recognize when I say that my accountant saves me way more than I've ever spent on his services. So those, investing in having solid accounting that's accountable to the board, to my mind, would probably, you'd probably save the board and the district significant, you know, amounts of money by having a better understanding. Like, again, I don't want to go to Carter and say, okay, I need to see all the leverage ratios. I wouldn't be comfortable doing that. But I do want that information, and at the same time, I don't want to be the one who has to do it. You know, so I'd like to get a better hand around the finances and get to the budgeting of where we say, I love the idea of an SRO at every, you know, at every high school, and hey, let's throw another one at the middle schools. What are we going to, what's that going to cost, and what programs are we going to have to look at and reconsider in order to end the year either with a favorable variance or at zero. You know, and I understand we set our budget in the blind, not knowing how much.
That's always fun.
Yeah, and it's going to be worse this year, but. Yeah, so I mean, I think that that might be a good, but that's more tactic than strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
Fiscal responsibility is the strategy, and the tactic I'd like to consider would be.
And this will be your first budget. You know, I mean, you'll see the more during budget workshop and preparations too, where to interject them, you know, those thoughts.
Okay. Thank you.
But yes, but I do want to just share my experience because I've sat on city council, and that was probably the first shocking thing, and I'll be honest that it wasn't until I actually got the job that I did not realize that you couldn't set the millage rate. You would watch TV, you would watch all that. So I was like, you know, and I was sitting with Carter, and I'd say, well, you know, I mean, I understand that, but, I mean, not that any, you know, public office person wants to say, well, we'll just raise the millage rate, but, you know, I mean, you really could, you know. No, you can't. They go to the book. And if you don't go what they said you should do, and we're already maxing the capital, and we're already maxing the discretionary, so you can't. And we have 27 unfunded mandates, and I think my jaw dropped open, and I was like, not that you want to, but when you realize, and then a chiller goes, this was really not going to be replaced till 2012, but now, or 2020, now we have to pull it, and that's why a lot of that juggling goes on. And it is a robbing Peter to pay Paul, but that's the nature of...
it's called fund accounting.
Yes, thank you. But it is hard, because you can't count on that. It is hard. I don't know that ever changes. And then how many seats are in your school, when that's always fluctuating, and that funding is
going to... And if they let anybody come to your school now,
it's going to be interesting. That's going to be helpful. But anyway, I think that's good input.
Okay. So I have one final thing, and this one is an academic thing. And I try to get this with Dr. LaCava and with Dr. Adams, and didn't have any success. And I think that one of the things that would help our school district is if we were able to get feedback from the community college in terms of how our students are doing that go there. It's because we hear about the issue of remediation, and I heard that years ago there was actually data that the community colleges would have to collect that was accessible to the school districts, but 6 years on the board, never seen it. And then when I found out that it existed, they told me it no longer exists. I've spoken to Mr. Lunsford a couple of times, and he's a visionary. He really wants to see those kids be successful. And I think that if we had a superintendent and a board that were meeting to maybe meet with him once, you know, twice a year, and kind of just have a conversation, develop a relationship, we could be getting feedback, and we could see, you know, when our kids leave Vero Beach High School, Sebastian River High School, Charter High School, when they go to the college, where are the areas where they excel? Where are the areas where they're challenged? So we can use that data to improve what we're doing. And I don't think that that's a budget thing. It's a time thing and a willingness to cultivate that relationship and see if it's possible. Maybe it's impossible, but I think it's a missed opportunity.
Well, can I just jump in?
Yep.
Oh, okay, go.
I
would agree with you, but honestly, when I look at my position, obviously, I'm visiting schools. I'm not saying I don't feel that. But that should be something that we should give direction. That relationship should be with our superintendent and Indian River. I want that. I want what you said, but I don't need to be there once a year, twice a year. I mean, and I don't want to rob you if you want to be there, but that's something that I feel that data should be brought back to the board. I agree. That should be, but we should be able to say, that's what we'd like to see. We'd like to see that data, get it, nurture the relationship. That's a direction we should give. But, because what happens is, as we create shopping lists for Dr. Rendell, and he creates it for his staff, if we start creating and I don't want to say shopping lists, but I want to say lists to do, that list will just keep getting bigger, not smaller. And I'm not shy to work. I'm not saying that, but that's not part of policy and budget. That's part of, nurturing relationship. And so each one of us can do that. I hope that, I know that Mr. Searcy is an ambassador for our school district. You are. And I think everywhere we go, but I think that board corporate should make that decision that we want that. We want it. We need it. We want to see if it's working. If it's not working, what's the problem? So I would definitely say that I agree with you. I don't need to be a part of that, though, because there's other,
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, but I know from my experience on the board, for example, we've had a very difficult relationship with the African-American community, and there were times when meetings weren't happening, and it becomes he said that she did and she said that he did, and when we've had opportunities to meet as a board with the NAACP, with Mr. Brown, and with all the players at the table and as a board, we've only done that maybe once or twice. It's not like we're doing it every month. It gives us as board members insight in terms of how that relationship is going, how the conversations are, because that's the other piece. We are continually triangulated, and every once in a while, it is in the interest of the board to see the players in action. Because that's one of the challenges when you evaluate your superintendent. We have a tool where a lot of the stuff that we ask our superintendent to do, a lot of times we don't see firsthand. We just hear it like far removed, and we do have the opportunities. I remember with a previous superintendent, not Dr. Adams, I walked into one of their leadership council meetings, and these people almost had a heart attack, and one of them turned and said, "What is she doing here?" And it's like, I'm going to evaluate the superintendent. I want to see the superintendent in action. I don't want it to just be, oh, everything looks good, five. Oh, yeah, five. And you don't see the person in action. Sure. And I know that when you walk into a room, I would hope so. I don't see this all the time. You think sometimes when they see a board member, they change their behavior and be on the assessment. But that doesn't necessarily happen. I know it changes the dynamic, so you don't want to do it all the time. But how do you evaluate the superintendent if you don't see the superintendent in action other than board meetings? That just, to me, is mind-boggling. So I think sometimes we need to see our superintendent in action because that gives us insight. Not that it's the definitive, because it's a snapshot. So that was why I thought, even if at once we had that, but I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work, and we have to pick and choose how we spend our time. But I just want to throw that out there.
Sure. Speaking of self-monitoring, I did want to come back and circle back about the ARC. I saw there, they actually have a severe profound group that's over by the high school, and then there's another group off of 5th Street Southwest that's more high-functioning. Both excellent activities. Again, it probably was, they knew I was coming. It was, it was a visit. Everything was immaculately clean. I'm certain that, they were putting their best foot forward. But to their credit, I will say this about the ARC. They're not the only game in town, and one of the things they pitched was the idea of in-home. But they just want there to be something, to their credit. I also had the opportunity, thank you, Sunshine. Now we can say these things. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to meet with Mr. Lunsford this past weekend at the Children's Art Festival at Congressman Posey's event. And we spent probably 45 minutes talking about exactly that issue. And he is a sharp guy, and we're all doing our jobs. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he did mention was that he had a good relationship in St. Lucie County, He you know, admitted it was more with Dr. Wild because that was the relationship, but he felt that he knows Dr. Rendell well and felt that the two of them can work together. And one of the things that he started down there was bringing the high school math teachers up to the college and having like a round table so that they knew that, you know, why is it that when he identified the gap, basically he said, why is it that they take pre-calc in high school but then get rated at intermediate algebra when they get to the college? So the data is there. He's analyzed it, and he's actually already addressed the gap. So these are all the good things that are happening in the community. And you know, to her point, that the more time we spend out there working as ambassadors for the school board, the better. So that's one hopeful piece that when, you know, Mr. Lunsford, he's on it. He's lived here a long time, and he's an interesting guy in that he comes from a music background. So he thinks creatively, he thinks outside the box, he looks at things very differently than perhaps I would. But he has some ideas that will make our district better, you know, make our high school students more prepared, better prepared to be at IRSC. So.
Yeah, you know, and you also have to remember, like, the backdrop to everything we've discussed here, which is just kind of fluffy kind of, you know, we're not trying to get down the weeds. You know, Dr. Rendell's going to come in with some ideas too.
Yep.
Because he's got some ideas. And you know, probably he's going to have his own, for lack of a better word, ideas on what to do and how to do it and some things. So, you know, it's going to be definitely a collaborative contract. So, not just us telling him what to do.
I think it's great that we're kind of opening. I mean, like you said, you say, hey, you've been there? Hey, you've been there? I've been there,
right, because we can't talk and everything. I also think that we all hired this guy to work. We've really got the, you know, peek behind the curtain that this guy's a really hard worker, and I think that we're on the verge of some exciting things happening for the school district. So part of this might be just let's give him some time. Yeah, but I'm glad that we've had this chance to talk. I did want to circle back because of my experience, and I can't talk, like I said. But I wanted to... I have been working with the Gifford community for years because District 2, it's part of District 2. Whether it was when I was trying to obtain a seat for District 2 or as a county commissioner or even now, and also I work with a lot of gentlemen who are leaders in District 2, in Gifford. And the problem, they'll be the first to tell you, it's those other guys, and I've talked to this with Miss Jackie Warrior, too, is first of all, there's not any ladies in the group. But what it is there are, and, you know, different leaders in the community in their own area that all are working on things and feel that's very important. But at many times, they don't even talk to each other. So if we had a goal of, you know, if we want to get better with that community, one of the obstacles is they can't get better, that community can't get better with themselves because each person, and I will tell you, I talked to Donald Hart, who knows this. I say, hey, I tried to talk to Tony Brown, but he hung up on me. Well, I'm above Tony, you could talk to me, and this one is over here, and I'm over, and I'm just saying, and they'll all admit that, and they'll laugh, and I'll say, what I find, and I'll be very blunt with them, is that, you know, you're not collective. You're not a collective front. Each person has, you've got what I'll call a small community, because it's small in size of the county, but you have so many, you have the pastors, you have 25 churches in one area. You have, you know, I went over the, Gifford redevelopment plan with them. They came out in 2002. They made a big bark at the county commission. County commission came up with this big study and plan, and then it sat on a shelf. And then in 2010, I'm showing, look at this. Well, it's not so sad. Use it as a report card. They've done nothing with it. Now they're trying to revisit. So part of it is the community is being handed things, you know, or saying, you know, well, why don't you do? And I hate to say it, school district can't do it alone. Community has to help. We can perhaps give them guidance, but if we don't, again, it's just like when you have all these sacks, but no parents are showing up. So I'm not finger pointing, but I'm saying I have found in past, I don't know how to get past that. I wanted to, in the sunshine, share my experience that the most difficult part about getting together, when you're saying getting together with the community and talking, and we can invite them all, but they don't come united, they come separate with separate agendas, and it's just, I don't have an answer, but I found that has been my experience,
And I would love to have them more involved in the Gifford community, the African-American community. I've talked to Jackie Warrior. There's somebody in that community that wants to talk to Jackie, and maybe they can go and try to discuss those issues within their community. But I wanted to share that difficulty that I've had in trying to help in with a different hat and a little bit with this hat. And, you know, we can keep working on it, and we can do make sure our side of the fence is clean and that we are offering situations and invitations and open ears and even some solutions. But that has been my experience.
Mm-hmm. And I've had similar experience in my other work in the community. Kind of came to the same conclusion. But I wanted, before we finish, to go back to ARC, to that conversation we were having about ARC, and share one of my concerns, because I've been following this whole situation, you know, met with Mr. Mancuso and his concerns around his son and other folks in the community. And I think one of the things that I find challenging is that we have the responsibility to make sure that there is a plan and parents know what's out there. Mm-hmm. But it is not our job to provide the services once those young adults leave here. And I think that, you know, what ARC does, what is available in the community, that's the community's responsibility. And I sometimes feel like it's being put on our plate, and we can't provide that service. We do what we need to do is to make sure that there is a plan, that they're informed early on, not at the last minute. But we can't, we're not brokering services here. And I think that that's, we have to be careful of, you know, like thinking that maybe we're going to somehow, maybe we could employ people and find a way to do it if we have the money, but that's different. So that's been my frustration, because sometimes I hear them and I'm thinking, well, we can only do this much, and then you need to lobby your community, you need to create awareness, because we can't be responsible for that also. And there seems to be a lack of understanding of that sometimes.
Can I just real quick, mm-hmm. This is our old transition plan, and now again, just like with Dr. Rendell, I think Mr. Mancuso, you know, was a parent advocate, and in fairness, that as delicately as there was probably not great emphasis on transition.
There wasn't.
I'm being polite.
Period.
I'm being polite. But there is a plan, and I'm going to leave this with Judy and then ask her to put it in my box. There is a plan. Kathy, I'm as excited as I am about Dr. Rendell, I'm excited about Kathy Francis, and that transition and that afforded of transition, capacity evaluation is the term she uses and things like that, that there's going to be more of that. So what was brought to my attention is already in the works of being repaired. So I think that's exciting too. And if I'll just have Judy, because this is Kathy. She's only been on the job a few months. She's come up. She saw the gaps, and she's come up with a plan. Do you have this?
No, not yet.
Do you have it? Anthony Mancuso come, and he seemed excited about it. But you know, it's sort of like, yeah, we've heard that before, and I get that. But it really, I having, you know, when you meet somebody, as we did in the hiring process, I really feel that she's the gal that's going to get it done. So I'll leave this with Judy, just to make sure everybody has it. And I think that you're right. And I think that some parents, and that's part of my conversation too, there is a capacity. And some parents expect miracles. Or, you know, one of Mr. Mancuso said, why didn't we give, you know, teach his, you know, student, you know, potty training? And then he's been out 3 years, and they go, well, is he potty trained now? And he says, no, he's working on it. So I agree with you. Some, you know, there is what we can do. There's capacity, and what we're obligated to do, and what just won't be done. And there's a fine line, and there's a fine way to deliver that message as well. But I think that Kathy, for that, those issues. But like I said, I want to look at the whole puzzle, and I think that's exciting too. I think that as we speak and we see this is important to us, there's already things that are already in process that we just hasn't had time to take off. So I'll leave this with Judy and just have her share that with you.
And that's why that communication is important, because Mr. Mancuso has met with pretty much all board members. It's very important. But it's that lack of communication sometimes around issues that have been percolating that it would put people at ease and it would provide information to the community. And board members could respond in an informed way. you know, because if you don't know, like before I met him, I contacted ESC and I said, okay, guys, tell me what's going on, because I'm going to meet with this guy and I want to be prepared. But sometimes, you know, we're caught off guard.
I think that this has been very healthy, at least for me, because, you know, sometimes you think you're out there and, you know, I want to get, you know, information back to you all. And I think that maybe during our discussion meetings, not that it has to be a line item, but you know how we do members' matters at meetings? I think that, you know, just I think if we could all share, you know, hey, I've been, I just, you know, I took a visit, you know, just a quick, you know, overall 2-minute summary. I've been here, I've been done this, I've been here, I noticed this. It just kind of gives me an idea. Then a lot, because I know that the public does this. I know that the public corners you. And I don't want to say corner, but I'm saying they meet with us separately because some of them know that they can't do that. And sometimes either we're going to be retracing someone's steps or it's good to know what your thoughts were or how that message. You know, I'm just saying that this has been very healthy and I appreciate the time that you are all taking to, you know, let me know what you've been doing because it's, you know, it's nice to know. It's nice to know.
I agree.
And it's nice to tout that we're out there.
There you go.
Silent.
All right. Anything else for us? We'll stand adjourned.
Thank you for not canceling me.
11 with the audio.
Yes.
Are you going to be in on that?
I can be if you want me to be there. I wasn't invited by the Auditor General either. Put it that way. Oh, yeah, I think that's
be
what
a processor.
Yeah.